RSM Central's Form Express.
Time for the Metro Form Express, and it's Ballarat's big day there tomorrow afternoon. Ballarat Cup day. At the moment, we're on a soft five, but they tell me the sun is shining in Ballarat. We might even get to a good track by that first race, which will be about 10 past 12. A big program, 10 races. And our Metro Form expert for the Metro Form Express here on RSN Central is Mark Guest, and he's ready for us now. Hello to you, Guesty.
How are you, mate? I was talking to the Hornet off air, and
yep.
He's on his home deck, so he's very pumped about tomorrow.
Did he give you a tip, Matty Navitt?
No, he hasn't given me a tip yet.
No.
I might have to, after I finish with you, I'll chat to him.
How do you go at Ballarat? What's your strike rate there?
I think tomorrow, normally the Ballarat Cup day, you've got to be sort of somewhere up there, especially when the track's in the firm condition. So I'm looking for horses that can be reasonably handy.
All right, then. Take it away with your best bets there, please, Mark.
I thought race five, it's pretty short, but I feel the Gouch is the one to beat here. I think Kiramar and Eustace's team are going to have a super day. Its record around the 1,200 metres is excellent. It can make its own luck on speed, and that's where I expect it to be. 52 kilograms, it's the one to beat. Race five, number five, the Gouch.
All right, then.
What a great rider he was, too.
He was one of the greats, wasn't he, Darren Gouchy?
Yeah.
Where do we go after that, then, Guesty?
Yeah, another shorty, and that's Marabai, Marabi, in the upcoming the race six, so the race following the Gouch. Look, she, all her three starts, they haven't gone too hard, and nothing's really pressured her. But, yeah, she just looks the type of mare that will handle that sort of, even if they go along a little bit harder, she'll still have a finish. She can run up super times. She's been rocketing home at the finish, like as in leading, but then bolting away. So she's got that acceleration. Barrier one, she's had a couple of trials. The recent one wasn't pushed out at all. It looked very good. I think she's ready. Marabai, race six, number eight, short odds at $2.30.
You might hear what Dave Eustace has to say about Marabai's chances there in race number six, Guesty.
She's genuine top of the ground horse, so we'll have to keep an eye on the weather. With her, and I suspect it'll be just having to see what falls on the day. But she's in good form, 1,100, a nice kick-up point for her. And, if she runs, she'll run well, but mindful that she will improve plenty for it.
All right, Guesty, the final of your specials.
I'm with Siders Express in race nine. I'm just worried about where it's going to get to if I was had to have any negative about it. But its most recent runs have been very good. For this 78, 1,600 metres, it's well-suited. Just whether they go forward 55 and a half, go forward and try and slot in somewhere midfield, get into that sort of position, it will be in striking distance. And we'll know by race nine how the track's playing. So I feel it's could be one of the best if it gets its own, gets a bit of luck. Race nine, number eight, Siders Express. Now, there's three horses I like each way. Race 4, number 10, La Bella Costa, it's $8.50. That's race 4, number 10. Race 7, number 2, Sol and Sovereign, it's $10 each way. And in the cup, I'm pretty keen on Zaydani each way, $7.50, race 8, number 6.
Race 8, number 6. So each way plays race 4, number 10, race 7, number 2, race 8, number 6. But your best bets on Ballarat Cup Day, the Gouch, race 5, number 9. Marabi, race
that's
6, five,
number 5.
Or race 5, number 5, the Gouch, is it? It is too. Race 5, number 5. Race 6, number 8 is Marabi. And race 9, number 8, seen as Express, Guesty.
That's it. That covers it.
You're a good man. Good luck.
All the best.
There's
Thank you.
Guest there. Let's hear what Calvin McAvoy has to say about Frankie Pino's chances in the opening race there at Ballarat.
Look, Madison Lloyd, who is apprenticed to us, she rides in nearly every day. She's got a great association with him. And I think with a small field, at least he shouldn't be too far off them, I believe. But I don't think we need to change anything. You know, his racing pattern works. And I would say this is a down in grade race for him. And hopefully he can win for us.
His big danger, Frankie Pino, was Lighthouse, the former American mare that was so good there, first up there at Kyneton. Let's hear from co-trainer David Eustace.
To be honest, she doesn't show a whole lot at home, but then took us by surprise in her jump outs, because she did jump out very well. So we weren't surprised by what she did at Kyneton. She ran a very good figure. So you know, we'd be pretty hopeful of her running very well and possibly stepping into, you know, stay straight a little bit.
Here's Michael Kent Jr. on Litchfield County's chances in race number 6.
He's had a jump out since. He's gone great. Last three gallops have been very sharp. He's a good horse. He'll need a bit to win this. You know, I think Moorabbin's very smart, obviously, but I think he's a lovely each-way play at that price.
Let's hear from Ben Hayes on Mimi's Awards chances in race number 7, the benchmark 84.
From barrier 1, obviously you've got to have a nice run in transit and should be a bit like Zaydani. We need to ride for a bit of luck, but he's trained on beautifully. We're really, really happy with her. Big drop back in class, gets in with a lightweight. I think she can bounce back and be very competitive.
Thought of that as the favourite in the Ballarat Cup. Here's Dave Eustace.
He's in such good form, and obviously the rest of the field are going to be well aware of what his tactics will be, and will roll forward. And it'll just be, it's not actually easy to do at Ballarat. You know, it's big open track, and you know, it's not that sort of track that you're just nicking off the bend. But he's been able to do it on bigger tracks as well. Was able to do it at Sandown and at Sale. So, look, it'll be how much pressure the rest of the field want to put on him. But, you know, he'll certainly be rolling forward and doing our best to get onto the front end without having to do too much. And then there's no better front-running rider than Linda. So it'll be up to her after that.
You just heard Mark Guest is keen on the chances of Zaydani in the Ballarat Cup. Here's Benny Hayes.
I think we just ride her where she lands. I think she'll land in probably a similar position to what she did in the Matriarch. She's not a horse that you would probably use that inside barrier and take her out of her comfort zone. I think you just got to let her balance, and then we just got to pray and hope they're coming off the rail again and we can come up the inside.
And Andrew Noblett in his hometown Cup's got a couple of mares engaged in that feature event, Foxy Frieda and also Godalee.
The two horses in the Cup are really, really, really good order. If the track was wet, I'd lean towards Godalee. But the track stays like this today. It is today, and we get a bit of luck with Foxy Frieda. I think she's going great. I think she's the best hope.
Yep. The Metro meeting in New South Wales is at Kembla Grange, and Ronnie Duffersey joins us to preview this card. Hello, Ronnie.
Yeah, g'day, Gareth.
Do you like Kembla Grange tomorrow afternoon? What are you thinking there with your specials?
Yeah, I'm pretty keen, although it's a bit of a weather watch. You know, we've got back to a good track this morning after being wet all week, but there's a chance of a storm this afternoon and a storm tomorrow afternoon. So we're sort of treading on thin ice, to tell you the truth. Races 3, 6 and 9 are the races I'm most keen on. Race 3, number 8, Dragonstone. They've found a lovely race for this horse for the start. You know, he just sits. I thought his trial was brilliant. He showed good promise last prep, but he looks like a better horse this preparation. And there's 4 go-forward horses here, and they should run hard. So I think this horse can just sit, look for 3 deep with cover, and I think with 51 kilos on his back, he just goes crunch and gets over the top of them. So race 3, number 8, Dragonstone. Race 6, I'm going to the well again with Easy Campese. I liked him first up, but he was beaten on his merits. But that form stacked up okay with Ma and Pa just being nutted out last week. He drops to a 72. He should find the front. He's fitter and more switched on, and he gets those blinkers back on, which is a huge help. So race 6, number 1. And this is massive overs in race 9, especially if we get a storm. Number 3, race 9, number 3, Brutality. I thought he was terrific last week. He's up to a mile with his blinkers back on as well, on a backup. And I think he's going to run a ripper of a race at that price. So race 9, number 3, Brutality.
So $18 there, Brutality there, each way for Joe Pride and Bayless. What about in the Tab Gong there, Ronnie?
I'm going a little bit wide. I think Chris Waller's 3 trio will run really well, but I've got a leaning to Nudge. I think she's just looking at all her replays this preparation. She's a bit of an older mare, and she's just crying out for a mile. It's as simple as that. She peaked at a mile over the winter carnival in Queensland when she won the Sapphire Way for Age race. And now she's had her three runs back. She hits a grand final and she finds the right distance. So another one around the $18 mark, I could easily entertain her.
Could be a fill-up then, Ronnie. Brutality, Nudge, Dragonstone and Easy Campisi. I know that you love getting to Western Australia, especially to catch up with your great mate William Pike. Have you had a look at the Railway Stakes or even the Sky Racing Guineas there tomorrow?
Yeah, look, it's hard to get away from that favourite, isn't it, in the main race. But, yeah, look, I'll be watching and I think... Oh, look, I haven't put a lot of work into it, to tell you the truth, but he does look very, very hard to beat, that horse. And the horse I am interested in is in the Guineas. I've backed it early on, only because Dino gave me a leg up for it. It's a Ray Day, so that's okay. The one I'm cheering home.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a Ray Day for me.
Barry number one for Simon Miller. Good on you, mate. Thanks for that, Ronnie. Enjoy tomorrow.
See you, guys.
There's Ronnie Duffercy looking at Kembla Grange. Michael Maxworthy joins us now. Maxie, to have a look at the Sunshine Coast on a Saturday afternoon. Hello to you.
Yes, hello to you, Gareth. It kicks off the Queensland Tab Summer Carnival officially. It's coast to coast, a sunny coast tomorrow, and it all culminates in the middle of January for that big day at Magic Millions. Some good racing at the sunny coast tomorrow. I've got a value runner around $14 in race three, number 11 called Quiet Michael, trained by Chris Waller. He ran third at Rose Hill before coming up to run in the Derby, where he didn't measure up. He's had a good spell, and his two runs back have been nice for an 1800 class three at the sunny coast. So 3.11, Quiet Michael. Then 7.2, Zeus Style. He's the best horse over 1,000 metres here by a good way. He has had a lot of health problems, though, over the years, but his two recent trials have been super. I expect him to lead and win. And in the last, another track specialist, 9-1 GPP. He's first up. First up stats are good, and he has had two recent barrier trials over 1,000 metres, and he has been back. He's into 550 now from being as high as 7.5. So 3.11 each way, Quiet Michael. 7.2, Zeus Style straight out. 9-1. GTT each way.
I know that you love getting to the trials, identifying horses for Sky Racing and also for your many buyers in Asia these days, Maxie. Has there been a two-year-old that's really stood out heading towards the Magic Millions early doors?
Well, the first race tomorrow, a horse called Honey Pop is a wrap on her. She's looked good at the jump outs. But she has a stable mate, and I haven't worked out what his name is as yet. Now, Ryan Maloney jumped him out the other day, and he carried the Sedgenho colours, the red colours with the yellow seams. So I hope by the time we speak next Friday, I'll know his name, but he's a bomb, this horse. He'll be winning first up. So he's the one. But this one tomorrow holds a lot of interest, Gareth. Honey Pot, number 8 in the first race of the Sunny Coast, from our Queensland perspective. Looking at the Magic Million.
Surely you know his name. You just don't want to tell us.
I've got to get on first. You know the story.
Yes, I do. Good on you, mate.
Righto, bye-bye.
There's Michael Maxworthy looking at the Sunshine Coast, racing in Adelaide, of course, at Morphinville. Hello to you, Nadia.
Hello again, Gareth. We'll kick things off in race four with the 8 Aunt for Libby, Morphinville Park tomorrow. Look, she gets the addition of blinkers. She's been flying around the Port Lincoln area, and they took her to town last time out, and she was only nosed out on the line. Look, she's likely to settle handy in the run. She's only 2 kilos over the minimum, and she looks very well placed in the class two over 1,300. So race four, number 8, the first of the specials. Another horse I like comes up in race 6. I did think the 8, Wild Imagination, was very well placed here. She's another who's got the ability to settle right up there on speed. She comes off a run over 2,000 last start, so she's back a little bit in trip. But I love the way off of the slow speed where she was up on pace that she was able to run away from the opposition. And she obviously recorded some very strong slick-like closing sectionals where she had the sixth best last to 800 for the meeting. So she's got a very good turn of foot. And the other horse I thought would be worth having something on, in race 7 over the 1250, the 7 Chewed TJ. I think the move here for a 3-kilo claim is the real key to her winning chances. She's been going around recently, and she's been getting back a little bit and been finding the line. Look, she gets that 3-kilo claim, because we'll see her get in with a 55.5. She'll settle just off speed in this race, and her ratings are far superior than some of these. So the three horses are race 4, the 8, race 6, the 8, and race 7, number 7.
Catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks for that, Nadia.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Gareth.
There's Nadia Horn. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with our big railway stakes preview with Peter Anthers and Michael Kangemi. We'll take a close look at that feature meeting at Melton with the Breeders' Crown Finals and also Georgie Ferugia with his Meadows preview.
RSN Central's Form Express.
It's time to preview the big meeting at Ascot tomorrow, of course, highlighted by their number one race. Everybody in the West growing up following racing, they want to win the Railway Stakes. And Peter Anthony joins us now to preview some of the feature races there at Ascot on a Saturday afternoon. G'day, Pete.
Yeah, g'day, Gareth.
We'll start off with the Railway Stakes. Now, he's into $1.70 Western Empire. Is it all over, or do you think there's a chance that he could be defeated there tomorrow?
I really don't think there's a chance of him being beaten as long as he doesn't regress. I think that's the only danger. That the horse has no ceiling is what we've seen. He posted an enormous figure first up, which is the best part of 1.5 lengths better than the rest of the field. And really the only way he loses is bad luck or he just doesn't turn up. It's as simple as that. I think the only horse on absolute potential that could turn up and post a new career peak could be Notorious One. But that horse does so much wrong in run that it's very difficult to see exactly how he's getting a perfect run from gate four when he's a bit slow away, and Western Empire from gate three is somehow, you know, he's never missed a start. He's got tactical gate speed. It's such a difficult race to try and work out how the favourite is going to be beaten.
Grant Alana Weems, we all know they're just wonderful grand final trainers. They proved that when they were in Victoria. And they've proven that over many a decade now in the West. So he's at $1.70. What about the Sky Racing WA Guineas? Now, it's a Ray Day. We might hear what Simon Miller had to say about his chances. He's the second favourite drawn barrier number one for that feature three-year-old event.
He's an exciting horse. He's an elite horse. Does he get a mile? That's my query. He's got too good a turn. He's too brilliant. And that's probably my fear. But if he does get a mile, well, look out.
A treasured star, even the last 12 hours or so, Pete, she's been heavily supported. She's now into 230, and with that market support for her, it's a Ray Day out to $4.
Yeah, I must say, very surprised to see 290 even, the treasured star, yesterday. Yeah. Look, I keep this really simple, Gareth. If treasured star beats the Zoom, if you think treasured star beats the Zoom and the Burgess Queen with it, clear run in the straight, then Treasured Star should be odds on because it posts the same figure as the Zoom, which is clearly better than the rest of this field, and all of a sudden we're not even really talking about any of the other chances. It's a Ray Day. I tend to side with Simon Miller on whether or not it gets a mile. I think it's doing too much wrong at this stage of its career to be getting 1,600 versus some of these other horses like Treasured Star and the Zoom, which just seem more bomb-proof at the mile. If you're throwing in one at bigger odds for multiples, I'd be putting in He's a Lucky Lad drawn gate four. Mm-hmm. That horse is really good on resuming for Adam Durant, and it just looks like it's got all this green lit ability that's coming through. So I think that's going to be the big improver stepping up in the distance. But for me, again, Treasured Star just seems really difficult to go past. In the end, it's probably only bad luck or the horse not turning up on the day that sees it not competing.
So profile-wise, is she an Acadia Queen, or is she a horse like a Tuscan Queen?
Definitely more in terms of the Acadia Queen side of things. Again, we have to give her a little bit of a bonus because she did run into bad traffic there in the Burgess Queen, but that figure was probably about as big as you'll see a three-year-old post in a three-year-old race in WA.
Yep.
So the Zoom obviously is an incredibly talented horse and just keeps going this preparation. Danny Morton's team is absolutely flying. But if we go back and have a look at Arcadia Queen's best figure, in the WA Guinea, she posted a figure that was slightly below what the Zoom posted when winning the Burgess Queen. So obviously Arcadia Queen elevated to a new level over the 1800. Whether or not Treasured Star or the Zoom could post a figure that big, that remains to be seen, and I'd hesitate and say no, but, I mean, how can you discount any of the Grant Alana-trained horses? And this is a very nice type of horse, Treasured Star.
Does Treasured Star win the Kingston Town, then?
This is such a good question, and it's so interesting, because Regal Power's figures running home, it was completely unsuited, given the way the day was panning out. Regal Power looks on track to post a figure that was similar to what it did winning the Railway or the All-Star Mile. That horse is absolutely back. If Western Empire completely obliterates the Railway field, all of a sudden Bob Peterson's three horses contending for the Kingston Town Classic and William Pike can't ride all three of them. It is just staggeringly interesting. And I really hope for WA Racing we see the three horses turn up in absolute peak condition for the Kingston Town, because that would turn all of the fact we don't have any of the Eastern States horses here, that would make that probably the most interesting race that I've seen in years.
It always does, and that was Bob Peters' brainchild to invent a race like the Kingston Town, wait for age over the 1,800 metres, so you get the three-year-olds taking on the Railway horses maybe under wait for age conditions. And William usually is not forced to ride, but they love for him to ride the lightweight because he can get down to that weight. And there's not too many other options in the West there. So she's at $5, Regal Power at $8, and Western Empire there at $4. Now, outside of those feature races, what about your best bets on the program, Pete?
Yeah, Pro Consent in race 4, Gareth. Look, this horse will be well found. We're getting $2.80 on the tab at the moment. There was around $3.20 there yesterday. This horse is just simply outstanding. It's in its first preparation for Adam Durant, and it gives every indication that it'll be just taking that little bit of extra distance. If it's an even track, and look, it's been birdie drained, so there's maybe a couple of small queries there that can often change the expectation on the day, but I'm still going with it being an even track. It's just simply ready for peak this start. The only real danger for me is the leader in Big Screen, which I think is just a really tough and seasoned horse. It has been up for quite a while, this preparation, but it's clearly the only danger. So I'm more than happy to back Pro Consent here. If I'm able to, I'll save the screen, and there's something else wins will so there. But Pro Consent's clearly the best of the day for me in race 4.
And Pete, I hate to do this to you, but there's a host of SMSs coming through. Can we get a quaddie for Railway Stakes Day, please?
Yes. Yes, we can. Okay, let's keep this pretty simple, Gareth. So we'll start off in race 7. We'll go one out Treasured Star in race 7. Race 8, we'll go really simple. We'll go one out Western Empire. Race 9, we'll go narrow again, but we'll have a few more than just one chance. We'll go Shancorp number 4, number 9 Bright Diamond, number 11 Angelic Mist. If you want to go a little bit wider, you probably have to throw in She's a Charm number 6. And then if my horse Solaire somehow won and I didn't put her in the quaddie, I'd look like a fool, so I'll put in a 3 as well. In the last, I'm going to narrow it back down again. 8 Timely Outburst if you're going narrow, and we'll just leave it straight at that. Going a little bit wider, you can put in for Death of Star, Mercanto, and also God Has Chosen. But I really think Timely Outburst finds a very suitable race there in the last.
Now, Pete, we've got a loyal listener here on RSN Central, Chappie. Now, Chappie's from Perth, and he loves his racing, and he loves Railway Stakes Day, and we wish him the best of luck tomorrow on the pump. But would you believe Chappie is getting married on Railway Stakes Day? So we wish him the best of luck there, and he must be under the thumb to allow his wife to get that wedding day on Railway Stakes Day, Pete, because it is unbelievable, really. I'm fascinated to hear the reasons why Chappie has allowed that, but Chappie, hopefully the Railway Stakes isn't midway through the ceremony.
Exactly right. Chappie, if it makes you feel any better, I'm also going to a wedding. It's not my own, but you just have to, you know, there are things that are more important than racing sometimes. Gareth, as strange as that
is. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Hey, good luck to you, Chappie, and good luck to you, Pete, at the wedding.
Thanks very much, Gareth.
One man that would never get married on Railway Stakes Day is our next guest, superstar trainer from the West, Michael Kenjemi. Hello to you, Michael.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Would you get married on Railway Stakes Day?
No, you're dreaming, mate.
Yeah, dreaming. Hey, can you win it, mate? The Railway Stakes, notorious one, first of all. He's at $14. He's as mad as you and he's as green as you sometimes. But if he can put it all together, look out.
Yeah, mate, he's untapped. He's an excitement machine, and we've always had a massive opinion of him. We've just had to really take our time with him. And I think he only had his first start as a five-year-old about 15, 16 months ago. So to be lining up in a railway at this stage, we couldn't be prouder of the horse.
Is it too soon?
Well, he's a six-year-old, so you know you wouldn't think so. He's definitely improved with every run he's had, and his last start just showed that he's up to that level. And you know, he's a little bit stiff, but the favourite, obviously, won like a champion, and good luck to it. And it's going to be awfully hard to beat. But if it does put a foot wrong, hopefully one of our two are there to pounce.
Your stable is known for having so much success with tried horses, and usually you buy them from the eastern states, but it's been a genius move to purchase Massimo, who did a really good job for Adam Durant, but he won, of course, last start there at Ascot, Group 2 level, weight for age, and he's a big chance tomorrow in the Railway Stakes. We had Dean Evans before giving him a good push, and I guess it's been a masterstroke as well, because there's no Eastern State gallopers in this year's carnival.
Yeah, mate. Look, it's pretty rare you buy a horse and 5 months later lining up in a Group 1. So, you know, when this horse come on the market, we thought, you know, it's very rare that you get your hands on quality horses like this. And, you know, we thought we'd have a lot of fun with him. But for him to win his purchase price plus some back in his first three starts for us is definitely a pleasant surprise.
Can he win?
Oh, I can't see any reason why not. Obviously, the favourite's going to be awfully hard to beat, and it gets him very good at the weights. But look, at the same time, you know, we've only had him for three starts, and every run he's put in has been super. So, yeah, look, there's no reason why he won't be in front for a long way.
And he'll be out of trouble as well. Do you think the track will play to his advantage?
Oh, I hope so, mate. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, Ascot is a short straight, and if you're up on speed, you give yourself every chance. And if they're good enough to get over him, then good luck to him. And, but if not, hopefully he's there fighting out the finish somewhere.
In the Placid Arc Stakes, race 5 over the 1,200 metres, Thomas Magnum's at an each-way price. Was winning first up there the other day.
Yeah, mate, we've always had a big opinion of him. We've just taken our time. We didn't want to push him too much early. He had some growing to do, but he's filled out into that frame of his now, and he's a lovely animal. He's still learning a caper also, so we've thrown him in the deep end a little bit, but we definitely think he's got the talent to measure up to these.
And in the final race, I don't know if you'd be saddling up Macanto if you win the Railway Stakes, but he's in winning form as well.
Yeah, mate, he's two from two now. He's starting to put it all together, and you know, he's an excitement machine. We've always had a big opinion of him also, and you know, he just was a little bit immature in the head, and looks like the penny may have dropped a little bit now. He's two from two this prep, and his last win was super. He really savaged the line, and he's drawn wide, but if he can just get a bit of cover in the last of the day and present at the right time, he should be somewhere in the finish.
I know how hard you guys work across there, Michael, Johnny and the family, and it's been great watching you guys from this part of the world having so much success in Western Australia, especially during the carnival. Hey, we wish you the best of luck tomorrow on such a big day. If you win the Railway, I know you're living your dream. What is your best for the day there, Michael, with your team?
Oh, mate, look, we've got pretty much chances. I think we've got four in and they're all red-hot chances. So, you know, I think if they all get good runs, I'd be just happy to see them all run well. And if we get luck and can pull off a nice race, we'll be happy there either way.
And what about the People's Champ at 12 years of age, Rock Magic, going around in the winter bottom next week? How is he?
Yeah, mate, he's absolutely cherry. His work the other morning was first class. He just never ceases to amaze us. And, you know, at 12 years of age, he's been placed in the Group 1 at 10 and 11. And hopefully it's his swan song, it's his last run. You know, it's his last week in the stable as of next week. And look, there won't be a dry eye in the house, win, lose, or draw. He's got nothing to prove. And whatever happens is a bonus, but it'll be a super way to go out to see him run more big race in a winter bottom.
Appreciate your time as always, mate. Good luck.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
There's Michael Gangemi there. Big night of harness racing at Melton tomorrow night. I think my best bets, I like race 1, number 11, Honolulu Bay. I think he'd be mighty hard to beat. He's just too quick, I think, for his rivals in that opening race. Tough race, the three-year-old colts and geldings. For the two-year-old fillies, I'm keen on Tough Love. But I know really a couple of good judges are with Just a Bit Touchy. And I heard Clayton Tonkin on Harness Racing Victoria's social media platforms there yesterday give a really good push for Just a Bit Touchy. She gallops too much for mine to take that short of price. I think quarter cam, Matty Craven told us yesterday that he's untapped. I think he's worth an each-way play in the two-year-old colts and geldings final for the trotters. I'm keen on He's Son of a Gun in race 5 for the two-year-old pacers final, race 5, number 1. I think in the three-year-olds, I'm leaning towards Beyond Delight now, the 10 each way. In the three-year-old fillies, I think Ladies and Red's the best bet on the program. That's horse number 12. And the two-year-old fillies is a little too difficult for mine. I think Queen Alita and Aldebaran Ursula will be running the Quinella in the three-year-old fillies final for the trotters. So great night of harness racing there, but Ladies in Red is my best bet. Greyhound racing tomorrow night at the Meadows. And Georgie Farooj will be joining me in just a moment to preview the TAB Melbourne Cup heats and also the heats of the Bold Trees. And we'll hear from a host of the major players as well. But Georgie, how do we back a winner there at the Meadows?
Yeah, mate, there's two that I like. Good afternoon, Gareth. Race one, number two, Gypsy Yankee. He's a favourite of ours. He came back after a bit of a spell and went really well at Geelong, running 25.78. I like where he's drawn here. Got a solid record at the Meadows. He does like heading towards the fence. And as I said, I think the box draw certainly suits him. So race one, number two. And also race 10, number one, Overshadowed. I think drawn very well as well. Shows a lot of good speed. And I think it's certainly a winnable race. So race one, number two, race 10, number one. Quaddy numbers, Gareth. 1, 2, 4, and 7 into 1, 2, 5, and 7 into 1, 2, 3, and 8 into 1 and 5 to bring us home.
We'll catch up with you after the Turing preview with Adam at Crediton, mate, in just about 5 or 6 minutes' time to preview this wonderful night of greyhound racing there at Sandown.
No worries. Talk then, mate.
There's George Ferrugia there, and that is our Metro Form Express.